And he's on it.
A.J. Foyt has won his fourth 500-mile race.
It's a drag race. Marco Andretti, Cornish, who's going to win? At the stripe, it's home.
Goodyear makes a move. Little Al wins by just a few tenths of a second.
You just don't know what Indy means.
More Front Wings Centennial Interview Series.
This morning we're chatting with 1999 Indianapolis 500 winner Kenny Breck. Kenny, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Kenny, your career at Indianapolis started in 1997, drove six races between 97 and 2005 with, of course, your win in 1999 with A.J. Foyt Racing. Let's jump forward first. What have you been doing since you've gotten out of the cockpit in 2005?
Well, you know, I retired 2005, and then we moved to Europe. Currently I'm in London, and I do a lot of different things nowadays, but I still keep a leg in racing. Let's say I have a young driver development program in Europe with a driver that now runs in GP2, and he's been doing very good, won a couple of championships on the way up, and hopefully he can do great in GP2. Personally, I train him, so I still drive, but since I retired, I didn't drive for many years, and then somebody had me agree to do the X Games in the rally car, so I went to Los Angeles in 2009 and drove the X Games in the rally racing class, and we happened to win the event, so it was a great experience, one that I at first wasn't sure that it was the right thing, but when we got there, you know, it was a lot of fun, and so I've been sort of doing perhaps a race a year since then. This summer I'm going to do a rally in Sweden, so it all seems to happen on the gravel for me these days, but that's how it is.
Thinking back to your career at Indianapolis now, because of course that's the focus of our interview series here, can you talk a little bit about your rookie year in 1997 and what you remember of that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I came to the United States that year to drive IndyCars, and so, you know, I came to the Indianapolis that year too, and it was a scary experience because I was a rookie, and the engineer that I had at the time was a rookie too, so it was, I guess, a little bit like a blind leading a blind, I was scared when I left the hotel to go to the track in the mornings, and I sort of thanked God every time I arrived back to the hotel. It was a very scary month, I have to say. We weren't really competitive. The car was very difficult to drive for the obvious reasons, for us. I crashed on the green lap, you know, so that first year was not something that that I was proud of, but you know, it's some things you got to go through to sort of get it good in the end. So all in all, it wasn't a bad experience, but at the time, it was quite a scare.
Well, the following year in 1998, you joined up with A.J. Foyt, and it's been one of the most ironic or interesting relationships that we've seen at the Speedway in many, many years. Can you talk about your relationship with AJ, how you got hooked up with him, and how you two from polar opposite lifestyles have been able to meld together like you have?
Well, it all happened really by chance, because I didn't have a ride at the end of 1997, and I got a call from AJ. I was in Florida with a friend of mine, and he asked me if I was interested in driving for him, you know, and you know, I first thought maybe somebody's calling a prank on me or something, and he was in Las Vegas, and I said, you know, for sure I'm interested. You know, are you kidding me? So he said, come to Vegas and we'll discuss it. And I said, well, I'm only going to fly out to Vegas if you're prepared to sign me. So then he took a couple of hours, and he called me back and said, yeah, get yourself on a plane and come out here. So I took a red eye out there, you know, and and we agreed on a deal the next morning. And you know, for me it was a great opportunity because obviously one of the most experienced guys, you know, in this type of racing, to hook up with him was more than a dream come true. And of course, when I got to drive in his car, I mean, the car was really nice to drive, and I just knew we would be competitive. And I think, although we have different personalities, let's say, we both come from very perhaps simple childhoods. You know, we fought hard to get where we got, and that was a bond that we had, you know, we had a great relationship and had a lot of success together.
Kenny, of course, you won in 1999. Can you talk a little bit about that month of May and what your memories are from that?
Yeah. That was the second year driving for AJ, you know. So we came into the month of May with the IndyCar Championship under our belts from 1998. And so we set ourselves the goal already at Christmas that year that Indy was the big prize for 1999, more so than the championship, of course. And we worked hard and prepared really good, and all the team, you know, we practiced pit stops. We had, you know, all the technology that we could have at the time, and it just felt good. You know, it was we really prepared ourselves to the smallest detail. So going into the month of May, I felt we were really good prepared, and it was kind of in the air that we were going to be really competitive. Of course, winning it is something you can never really take for granted, because so many things happen at Indy, but we knew we were going to be good. And sure enough, you know, things fell our way, and we managed to win it in the end. Great feeling. Something that never, you know, never leave a driver. And I don't think at the time that I really could appreciate the magnitude of this win. I still have problems with it today, because it's 10 years ago, over 10 years ago, and all people want to talk about, you know, if we talk racing, is the Indy 500, and so sometimes you feel that it's it can get boring repeating the same story over and over again. But you know, it feels also like if you haven't won it, then you have nothing to talk about. So I won a lot of races, you know, in IndyCar. I mean, I think I had, you know, nine victories and over 20 podium positions. You know, all people remember is the Indy 500 win. And I also won the championship. So, but, you know, hey, that's the way it is. That's the impact this race has.
Kenny, the way you won that in 99, you know, with Robbie Gordon leading, you know, so close to the end, and then you taking the lead just before the white flag came out, you know, it must have seemed very quick that it happened when you went from second to all of a sudden you're taking the checkers as the winner.
Well, it might seem that way, you know, but if you go back and look at the race, it wasn't like that, because there was a yellow flag. I can't remember the laps now, but most of the front runners stopped at the time.
Right.
And that's when Robbie took the lead.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had quite a long stretch to the end. And, of course, had there been, you know, another yellow flag with quite a few laps of yellow, then Robbie would have won. But we felt in our team at the time that for sure he was going to have to stop, you know, because nobody could run that far on a tank. So for us, yes, it looked maybe a quick and dirty thing at the end, but it wasn't really like that in reality.
No, I didn't mean to imply that you hadn't. I think that Gordon had stopped like on lap 158, and everyone knew there was no chance it was going to go all the way for sure. My question was going to be, how long though does it really take for you to come to grips after you win? After, you know, after the checkered flag falls, you know, does it take a day, a week, a month, a year? How long does it really take to get your hands around the fact that now you are an Indianapolis 500 champion?
Well, I think it takes a long time, you know. I mean, it's of course, you realize that it's a big win because you have a lot of PR to do after a win like that. You fly to the East Coast and you fly to the West Coast and you do all these things. But you're pretty focused on your career, you know, and you try to win the next race and so forth. You don't really think about it in those terms, perhaps. At least I didn't. I think it's what's fantastic with this race is that, I mean, I retired 5-6 years ago from professional racing, and all people want to talk about, if we talk about racing, is the Indy 500. I mean, you know, the championships, the other individual race wins, it's not something that's sustainable over time, but the Indy 500 is always, you're part of the history. It's such a big institution in motor racing that it's hard to come to grips with it even 10, 15 years after the fact, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm just very, very glad and very happy and all the rest of it that I was able to experience this. And also with AJ, you know, who's a great American racing icon, you know, together with him, his team, it was truly a fantastic experience.
Well, after you won in 99, you left for several years to race in kart. You came back to IndyCar in 2003 and, of course, had the accident at Texas. When you returned to the Speedway in 2005, following, you know, a year and a half away from the sport, can you describe what it was like then to come back and make your return at Indianapolis?
Well, I guess Indy has always kind of been a home for me in some ways, because that's the league I first joined when I came to the States. And you know, the reason I left for kart was that there was this debate going on, IndyCar and kart, and where's the best drivers, and you know, depending on what side you were on, you sort of rooted for that league. And I felt as a driver, I need to go and win in both of them, and then hopefully this will not become an issue anymore. So that's the reason why I actually left IndyCars and joined kart. And then I came back, and it felt like I came back home in 2003, you know. And we raced the season. We had difficulties that year. And we had even more difficulties at the end of the year when I had my big accident. You know, when I came back in 2005, it was, you know, I wondered whether I had made the right decision, you know, sitting at the hotel in Indianapolis, you know, waiting to go out and track. And because you really never know after a crash like that, you know. But as soon as I got on the track with Ray Letterman, the team that I drove for when I had the crash and that I had many victories in in kart as well, great team also, Bobby and Scott Rumpkin, all the guys, David Letterman, great, great team, friends forever. It was like, you know, I've never really been away. It's like cycling, you know. We got on the track, I was flat from the fourth or fifth lap around the track, and they had a really great car that year too, which always helps, obviously. And we set the fastest qualifying time, and I mean, that was, I felt right then that I could step out of that car after qualifying and sort of hang the helmet up and never look back and be happy, because I was back where I was before the accident. The speed was there, competitive spirit was there, and it was the first time that I felt that I had won the race before even starting it, you know?
Mm. Such a great story, and it's such a disappointment that you weren't able to continue deep into that race.
It was indeed. We had good speed in the race, and we were climbing up the field, and we had a little knot, you know, holding the steering arms that came loose, and the alignment went out. And by the time we had fixed it, we were like 6-7 laps down, and it was you know, the chance was gone. So, but still, although that may have been a disappointment to fans and stuff, for me, I felt my victory was already in the bank when I stepped out of the car after qualifying, having been able to set the fastest time and really been able to get up to speed that quickly and still that, you know, that I had it in me to put it on the line like that after that accident. That was the answer that I was looking for.
And then was that kind of your, what led you to ultimately say, okay, I've done what I need to do now. Now it's time to hang up the helmet.
You know, I had gone through, not only in my career, I put always 100% into my career. I prepared myself. I lived for the racing, which a lot of people do, and I did as well. Then I had the accident, and I put an immense amount of energy into actually getting back to where I was before the accident. And I felt at the time that I needed to sort of just step back a little bit. And I felt that I didn't really have the energy required to be, you know, competitive anymore. It was, you know, I never had an interest to run around in 10th place. And the amount of energy required to run at the ragged edge, you know, to be running at the front, I just didn't have the desire to put that energy into it. And a lot of that probably had to do with, you know, I had taken a lot of energy out of myself getting back. And I also had a kid now, Karma, who was born during the time I was in hospital. And I felt that to do this on the level I need to do it, I have to actually forsake her upbringing, or I will have to stop because I don't have the energy and the time to do both at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the decision I came to. But, you know, looking at it, I mean, I was 39 years old at the time. I could have maybe done another year or two because, obviously, this is a young man's sport. You know, to be able to do what I did in my career and have that success at Indy and other races and championships and stuff like that, I felt pretty good about that decision, I must say, because some people, you know, have things like this happen to them right at the beginning of their careers. They never had a chance to actually prove themselves. For me, it was the opposite. So I look back at my career with the greatest of joy, and I think the decision to hang it up when I did was the right one.
Let me ask you a two-parter here, and I think we've probably touched a little bit on both of these at this point. Are you able to pick out a favorite memory from your time, your races at Indianapolis? And conversely, do you have one that really still haunts you to this day, your disappointments to this day?
Well, I mean, this is really, it's really difficult, you know, to do that. But I mean, I think that of the disappointments, when we start there, I think, you know, in 98, we were really competitive at Indy as well. As a matter of fact, we were leading when we, when our computer program that calculates the fuel wasn't working properly. So we actually ran out of fuel while in the lead, and, you know, I had to coast all the way back to the pits, and so I feel that race we could have won, but we didn't. And if you look at Indy, you have to work very hard and to put yourself in a situation where you actually can win. It doesn't happen every year. It is very difficult to win that race. So that was a disappointment. Another disappointment was that we worked really hard in 2003 with Raya Letterman to be competitive. The whole team, Honda, everybody. And I think the work we put in that year paid off the next year, but I wasn't there to take advantage of it because we crashed. So those things I can sometimes ponder over, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's like also, you know, I won the race, so it all offsets against that, and so the favorite memory from there has got to be the win, of course. Although I experienced many good memories there, I must say.
You mentioned that you won. I think you said you had won 9 other IndyCar races with 20 podiums, but it all keeps coming back to Indianapolis. What is it then about Indianapolis and winning Indianapolis that's so special? What do you see that as being so special?
Well, I keep asking myself that sometimes when I think about these things, you know, because, I mean, to win a race anywhere is really hard work, and you have to have a lot of things go right. There's luck involved. There's, you know, circumstances that you really can't control involved. And so to win a race at this level anywhere is a major achievement. And I don't think the amount of work you put into it or the preparations are any different for any race. It's just that I guess Indy has this, it's got this, the history of it. I mean, it's been around for 100 years, you know, and you can look at pictures when they first ran that race with the, you know, rims out of wood and these old cars and mechanics running with the drivers around and the brickyard and all that stuff and the stories and the mystique around the place, the driver that's lost their lives there, you know, trying to achieve this victory. It all adds up into something that's, you know, nearly mythical. And so I think that probably is the part of the answer anyway, that is so special. I mean, all the biggest names in motor racing, I mean, if you go back in the history, although, you know, even Formula One drivers, Jim Clark, Jackie Stewart, Nigel Mansell, Emerson Fittipaldi, I mean, it's a race that bounded all the motor racing globally together into one race. Although that has, in the later years, disappeared a little bit because now all the drivers in different series are so specialized and contracts prevents people from going and doing perhaps dangerous things in other sports than what they're supposed to. But you have all those ingredients there that makes up a fantastic history for this race.
Kenny, this one is kind of a challenging question, and I'm sorry to have to ask it, but it really does need to be asked. Given the era in which your win came, there are detractors, unfortunately, who will claim that your win is less valid because it happened during the IRL era. What's your response to people who suggest that to you?
Well, I don't know whether that is, so relevant, really, because in the two series were separated, and so, yes, you can claim that not all the best drivers were in one series, all of them at the same time. However, Indy always attracted more drivers than normal in the series. I mean, you had Robbie Gordon, for example, who kind of came from, you know, NASCAR and kart and all the kind of things. You had other drivers like that in there too. That is part of the reason why I did decide to go to kart, to actually prove myself against another bunch of drivers, for myself, see that I can be competitive anywhere, no matter what race, no matter what car series. So, yes, you can have that opinion, but I don't think it's valid.
Well, Kenny, I think that I think we've taken a lot more of your time than we had anticipated this morning. I certainly want to thank you for giving us the time that you have this morning. And then let me just ask one more question of you. In the 100 years of this race, only 67 drivers have been able to call themselves Indianapolis 500 champions, and you are one of those drivers. What does that label mean to you, even now that you've been out of the cockpit for 6 years? What does that label as Indianapolis 500 champion mean to Kenny Breck?
You know, those are numbers, and I think that it's the the mystique of the Indy 500 itself, that means a lot. I think that it's if you're going to win one race in the whole wide world, what race would that be? And for a racing driver, I think that that would be the Indy 500. That's the one that most people know. And I think that it's something that sticks with you forever. And that's something that that I can say after the years I've retired, I start to understand, because nobody asks about any other race victory or any other championship that you won or whatever. It's always the Indy 500, and that's proof to me that that's the one to win, and that means a lot to in a racing driver's career.
Well, Kenny, you certainly have been a great champion of the 500, and you still have many fans who wish you the very best, and even now in your retirement and having run in the X Games. We certainly thank you for taking the time to join us this morning and talk about some of these memories from the 500 that you have.
Thank you so much.
And thanks for joining us on More Front Wing as we have profiled Kenny Breck this morning and his championship at Indianapolis. Continue to stay tuned to More Front Wing throughout the month of May as we bring you full coverage of the centennial anniversary running of the 500. And remember that More Front Wing is your source online for blogs, podcasts, photos, and more covering the Izod IndyCar Series and beyond.